Probably 2 months or more, maybe 3 months, Brother Meyer gave me a call and told me, he said, you know, I've been praying about something. I've been going to Wauwatosa on Sunday and teaching a Bible study. And yet we have the church here in Fort Atkinson, and it's just a little bit too much for me. He says, I don't want to drop the Wauwatosa Bible studies, and I want the church here to continue. He said, I've been praying about Brother Punzel coming in and helping me. He said, would it be all right if I give him a call and invite him to come? I said, well, let me talk with him first. And I did talk with him, and I knew that Brother and Sister Punzel were feeling that it was time for them to go someplace and work, starting a church, or they were looking up at Ross Lake and Ladysmith and working with Brother Witkus and also Brother Wilkie up in Ladysmith. And of course, Dave likes all that because there's a lot of bears up there. Fort Atkinson, the closest bear that you'll find is in Soldier Field in Chicago. If you ever make your way down there, don't take your gun with you. But you know, Sister Punzel been here 15 years. Hunter was 2 weeks old when they moved here. So he's kind of grown up among all of us. When I think of Sarah and Dave both, I think of attitude. And I will say this, I worked with Sarah's mother for many years. And I tease her, I tell Sharon she's the oldest teenager in the world. Good to have her here, along with her husband Brian Zabel. But I'll tell you, Sharon, all your kids, all of, without exception, just have a great attitude. You put something into them. Now, I don't know if Dave got his attitude from Sarah or not. But Dave has the ability to laugh about things when they just all fall apart. He's just always laughing. You know, the thing about the Punzel family, too, they're all hard workers. Dave Punzel is one of the hardest working men you've ever seen. And his boys. Now, I don't know about their daughter, but I do know that the boys really know how to work. They know how to roll up their sleeves and work, and work, and work, and work, and work. Yet, they all have a great burden for the work of the Lord. Very, very talented. And so at this time, Brother and Sister Punzel are assisting Brother and Sister Meyer in Fort Atkinson and the work there. And I got to tell you, it is a great honor to have pastored them for 15 plus years. For Sarah, I've known Sarah since birth. And most all of the Renvick family I've known since birth. But well, not mom and dad, but the kids. And it's just good to have Brother Punzel here to bring us the word of the Lord. And we'd like for him to come. Give him another warm welcome, would you? He brings us the word of the Lord.
Bless you, brother. Love you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Let's give a hand clap unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yep.
Okay. You can. You can.
You may be seated. I just wanted to say a word of appreciation for my dear friend Sarah. Is she in here? Hi, Sarah. One thing I wanted to say is I thought of Sarah and I thought faithful, because she's always been faithful to God. She's faithful to church attendance. She's faithful to the prayer meetings. She's faithful when maybe some of the rest of us weren't. and she's always been faithful to the music ministry, and she's always done everything I've asked her to do, and she's always had such a wonderful spirit, and she's become a dear friend, and it was fun singing with you again tonight. We haven't done that for a while, and I just wanted to say that. I love you, Sarah.
Amen. Well, I thought before I would speak, 2 weeks ago I was here and kind of gave you the testimony of everything happening in Fort, and what a whirlwind it's been. You know, just you step into something like that unexpectedly, and you're swept into it. And, you know, I mentioned that night you just feel real unworthy, and boy, I feel really unworthy tonight with all you folks and the love that's been shown to us. You know, you're just living for God, and you don't realize you're making an impact on people's life, and you don't think you do. You're just trying to be you and live life and get through life. But honestly, I just really appreciate it, and I'm humbled tonight to be here. I'm humbled by everything that's happened. I believe John Rivest had a few photos that we had taken as far as the church building goes, and I just thought before I spoke here, I would give you an update. This is the church here. And some of the folks out in front of it a couple weeks ago. That's the front view from the outside. This is just a side shot here. This is an addition they put on. It's got a second story, another back view. And then that second story, there's a lounge and kids' classrooms and everything there. The yard is with it to the fence. This is the inside, the sanctuary. Behind the pulpit is the baptismal. Just a side shot of the sanctuary, and I think that's from the pulpit view. Amen. Sound system that goes with the building. Keyboard, there's an organ there that goes with the building. The keyboard that stays with the building. Everything you see stays with the building. That's the kitchen area, the eating area. Kitchen area, all ready to serve. Everything like you see it is how they want to leave it. The coffee makers, everything, the chairs, everything stays there. So the TVs that you see, just an amazing, amazing circumstance. The kitchen, two stoves, refrigerator, like I said, everything's there stays, and it's get another view. Amen. What an amazing ride. And my wife and I talked, just several of us talked, Brother Mike from the church, Brother Meyer and I, and brother, the half of Brother Meyer, I would just like to say that he was scheduled to be out of town. He scheduled it a couple months ago, and all this happened, and I know he spoke with me the other day in the office. It hurts, it breaks his heart, I know, and he would love to be here. There's so much going on, and it was scheduled, and you know, that's just how it was, but we really talked about the miracle that God's doing, and both of us, all of us have agreed that we're just going to let God keep doing what He's doing. We're not going to take it into our hands and try to control anything, but we want God just, we want to see this thing out and see what God's got in store. Amen? Amen. And if you would you stand with me? Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrew, the 11th chapter. And I thank you again for all the recognition. I'm glad that my mom is here tonight, my stepdad John. They mean the world to me, my mother. You know, we celebrated Mother's Day last week, and as you grow older, boy, you realize what your mother was instilling in you. And I am what I am for what they did to me, what they did for me, the sacrifices they made for me, the heartaches they went through for me. And I want to give honor to my mom and my stepdad here tonight because they really mean the world to me. Amen. And again, for all of you that gave honor to us, I appreciate that. In light of that, I really feel that God spoke to me about this tonight and that God has a message for us. Can you say amen? Amen. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We typically, in the Christian ranks, we title this chapter, this portion of Scripture in the Bible, the Great Hall of Fame of Faith. And in this chapter, it goes on and lists great men, Noah and Abraham, Sarah, and the things they did by faith. And I want to pick up reading in chapter 11, verse 28. And it says, through faith, talking of Moses, that he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest that the destroyed, the firstborn, should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do or trying to do, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak and Samson, of Jephthah, of David, also and Samuel, and of all the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mocking, scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, that they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. In verse 40 says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Amen. Before we pray tonight, I would like to title this message tonight, Rise to Your Occasion. Rise to Your Occasion. Lord, we thank You tonight, God. Lord, for what You're doing here tonight, Lord, for the honor that was given, God. But we want to give all the glory and honor unto You, Jesus, God. We're here that we might lift up Your name. For when Your name is lifted up, God, all men will be drawn unto You, Lord. We pray that, God, Your word would go forth. Anoint us to hear. Let miracles happen in this place tonight. Let lives be changed. Minds be changed, O God. And everybody said, Amen. Would you clap as you're seated? Let's do that one more time. Let's clap as unto the Lord. And as you do that, just free yourselves tonight. Hallelujah. Tell God, I want to get something from You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It goes without saying, if you've read the papers lately, if you've listened to the news reports, if you paid attention to media at all, we are living in desperate times. We are living in times that this world has not seen. If it's not the financial situation that we're going through right now, this prolonged financial situation, it's the weather pattern that we're in, then the tornadoes, the floods, the tsunamis, all the things that are breaking forth on this world. We are living in desperate times. The book of Revelation says that we would live in times that the world has not seen, evil days, perilous times. The love of many would wax cold. Men's hearts will feel them for fear of the things coming upon this earth. I don't want to belabor this, and I don't want a negative message tonight, but friend of mine, we are living in times that this world has not seen. We have never been to this place before. We are on uncharted waters, Brother Grant. We are on an uncharted course right now. Everything that is happening right now is new to this world, to our leaders, to our financial situation. Amen? 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11 says, Now all these happened unto them for ensembles or examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world have come. Could I be as bold to say tonight that we are that generation? We are the ones upon whom the ends of the world have come. I'm not claiming that I know the day or the hour. No man knows the day or the hour. And my simple philosophy is that I don't know that we will be raptured pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, or mid. But my simple philosophy is live every day like Jesus could come and you're going to be all right. Amen. But could I be as bold to say that this generation right now, that we will not pass until we see the coming of the Lord? Jesus said in His writings, in His teachings, that no man knows the day or the hour. His disciples asked Him. But He said, what you can do is, He said, you look at the sky and you discern the weather. You can discern the seasons, and today it's going to be a nice day because the sun's shining. I can pour concrete today, Brother Grant, because the sun's shining. But when I see the clouds looming, I don't dare order concrete up that day because I know the weather. It could rain or the snow might be coming. Amen. Jesus said that by the things that we see, we will know His return is very close. Wars and rumors of wars. Earthquakes in diverse places. I said, I don't want it to bemoan this and belabor this. But we're living in desperate times, folks. We're living in days that this world has not seen. And I mentioned, could it be that we are the final act? We are the closing act on the church age, on the thing as we know it. That God has called us to lead this church out of this world. What a privilege. What an honor. You know, the thought may run through your mind, and it's run through my mind. Why couldn't it have been Peter? Why couldn't it have been Paul? We read the great things they did. The great hall of fame of faith, somebody that was written in there. Why couldn't it have been Moses to lead this generation? Why not Noah? Great men of God. But friend of mine, God, looking down from heaven. I said, God, looking down from heaven. Hallelujah. We know our faults. We know our frailties, the things that we struggle with. But God, looking down from heaven on the likes of you and I, He must know something about us that we don't know about ourselves. He must see something in you and I that we don't see. Sister Meyer, He must see something in Fort Atkinson, Brother Grant in Madison. There must be something in us that we don't realize that God sees, that He's willing to put this great moment in this great hour on our shoulders. Hallelujah. What is God's answer going to be in this hour? Can I be so bold to say tonight that God is not going to send a new message in the day and hour we're living in. God has His message. That message is found in Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 38, and it simply says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We believe that here tonight, don't we? And it happens, doesn't it? Amen. God has His message. Amen. I don't believe that God's going to send some man somewhere a new revelation either. What a dangerous spot to be in, that you think that God sends only you a revelation. And know that the Bible says that revelation will increase in the end. That God will speak and reveal things and open the books as time is revealed. The book of Revelation. God, I believe, will open our minds and we'll understand things more clearly. But what a dangerous spot to be in, to think that God's going to speak to you and nobody else. Because you know how it happens in my life, and this is just me, but when God begins to speak to me about something and deal with me about something, I'll begin to talk to my wife and we'll go to a conference, Brother Grant, Brother Russell, and God will speak through that preacher about the same thing I'm feeling. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. He said the spirit of a prophet is subject one to another. What a dangerous spot to think that God's only speaking to you and He's going to give you a revelation to lead the whole world. God's going to speak to men and women of God and confirm it. Amen. I don't think, again, that it's a new revelation. It's not a new doctrine, but could I pose to you tonight that what God's going to do in this day, in this hour that we're living in the year 2011, what God's going to do to remedy our situation and bring hope to our world and peace to our world is He's going to raise up men and women to lead. Hallelujah. God, I said, is going to begin to raise up men and women. He's going to begin to speak to them. He's going to begin to call them. He's going to begin to deal with them. He's going to begin to put dreams in their mind and speak to them in the night when they're laying on their bed. You know, in the book of Revelation, it says somewhere that the Antichrist, and in the midst of all that we're going through right now, that a man would arise, an Antichrist would arise, and that he would have answers for this world. Lying signs and wonders would follow him. Great multitudes would follow him. His charismatic nature. He could call down fire and the stars from heaven. Even Satan realizes that in this day and hour, the thing that men and women need is a great leader to follow. And he's going to come up with his own. Hallelujah. Out of the midst of deserts, God is going to begin to speak to men and women. He's going to begin to call men and women who He's had hid away in desert places and begin to speak to them and say, now is your time. Now is your hour, and begin to walk, and you're going to begin to walk, and as you walk, you're going to begin to walk out of your desert in the place that God's put you. God has placed some of us in some tough situations. God has put us in some trials and some situations in our lives that we don't understand. You say, God, this isn't supposed to happen to me. This doesn't happen to Christians. This doesn't happen to preachers. And all the time God's saying, if you only knew and you could only realize what I'm doing in your life. Hallelujah. Do you really trust God with your life? You say you do. We talk about the sparrow when it falls, and God knows the amount of hair or how many or how few for some of us are on our heads. But let me tell you tonight, friend of mine, through experience, God is the unseen hand underneath. God is in control of your life, and what you need to do is just leave your life in His hands. You might not understand it, but just leave it there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Scripture says that He will perfect that which concerneth me. God knows good and well what's in your life, what's going on. God is in control. Can I say it again tonight? God knows what He's doing with your life, and just leave it there. God's got some training going on in your life. He's letting you walk through some things. He's teaching you some things. That's why you're there. It's not to hurt you. It's not to destroy you. But God is placing things inside of your spirit. He's testing. He's like the refiner's fire. He's preparing us. We don't understand it, maybe. We don't understand everything going on. We don't have a clue sometimes. All we do is want to give up. We want to let go. We want to quit. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, and underneath the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out thy enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. There's been times in my life, friend, that I didn't know what was going on in my life. I was bitter. I felt like giving up. I wanted to pull the covers over my head and quit. And at that moment, God spoke to me. He said, I'm not giving you a miracle in your life, but I'm going to walk through this situation with you, and I'm going to teach you. And friend, what a great miracle it was. What a revolution it was in my life, that God changed my life. I could see my life unfolding before me in God's hand at times when I thought I was going to fail or wanted to quit. God's hand just bolstering me up and pushing me up. Hallelujah. God is there. I say, God is there. You might not think He is, but God is there with you. He's just in the sidelines, coaching you, walking with you. The psalmist said in the Psalms, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. David must have known something about walking through trials and God with God being beside him, because he said, yea, though war shall rise against me, and an enemy encamp against me, in this will I be confident, for Thou art with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every great ministry, somewhere in its history, has a desert experience. Somewhere in every great ministry, the Bible says that Jesus, before He began His ministry, went into a desert place. John the Baptist, when he walked on the scene, came walking out of the desert onto the scene of his day with a word from God for His people. Moses, it says, spent 40 years living in a desert. And that desert that Moses lived in very likely was the same desert that he spent 40 years leading the children of Israel through. Who else was better prepared to lead Israel than Moses? He knew where the dangerous areas were. He knew where the enemies camped. He knew where there was water to be found. He knew where there was hope and refreshment for the people. Moses walked out of his desert to lead the people. Hallelujah. Recently, I was at the Wisconsin District Home Mission Seminar. And a story was told there about a professor and a college student that he had given his students a cocoon. And they were supposed to do a study on this cocoon, this butterfly. And he gave every one of the students a cocoon to study it and take information on. And the story was told about one student, how as he observed this cocoon, that one day he woke up, the cocoon inside started to struggle and move. And there was a struggle going on inside this cocoon, and he was worried about it as he watched it, and he decided that he'd put this cocoon up on his mantel place, and what he was going to do is take a very sharp knife, and he was going to open that cocoon and let that butterfly out, just kind of rescue it and help it. And he did that. He let the butterfly out, and he placed it on his mantel. And he decided that he was going to help the butterfly to fly. So he got his hand behind it, and he just kind of nudged this butterfly, and instead of taking off and flying beautifully around the room, it just simply fell to the ground and crashed. And he was worried, and he picked it up again, placed it on the mantle, and he just nudged it again, expecting it to take off and fly, and all it simply did is fall to the ground. He picked up the butterfly and put it in a case, and he went to his professor, and he told him, he said, I've seen this tremendous struggle going on inside this cocoon, and I took my knife and I opened up this cocoon, and the butterfly can't fly. And the professor looked at him and he said, you made a terrible mistake. This butterfly will never be able to fly. He will never be able to move like he's supposed to and do what he's supposed to do. Never do the thing that it was created to do. Because inside of that cocoon, as he struggled and he fought, what was happening is that butterfly was gaining strength to fly. His wings were gaining strength. So the day that he climbed out of that cocoon, he could fly. Can I pose to you tonight this thought? That you're asking God for deliverance and God set me free right now. And all God's saying is just a little longer. Just stay a little longer. Just let me work on you just a little bit more. Because friend of mine, the day is going to come when you're ready to fly. And you're going to take off and you're going to fly beautifully. But right now you got to struggle a little bit. Hallelujah. Great leaders are born. They're not made. Said of Moses when he was born, that the king at that time, the Pharaoh at that time said, realizing that his kingdom was in jeopardy, he said, let's take all the baby boys and let's destroy them. Let's throw them in the river Nile. He realized somewhere in all of that, that his kingdom was at stake. At Jesus' birth, it was said that Herod found out that a great king was born. And he said, let's take all the baby boys, 1 year old and under, and let's destroy them. Herod knew that his kingdom was at stake. Great leaders are born. Just stay with me. Abortion. In the day and that we, in hour we live in, is run rampant. Millions of babies are born and aborted in our country every year. The great crime of abortion is the great voices that'll never be heard, the great lives that never will arise and do great things. Can I pose this thought tonight that Satan, somewhere in all of that, realizes that if an individual, a certain man or woman is born, that his very kingdom is at stake. The plan that he has for our world and the things that he wants to do is at stake if that man or woman is born. See, Satan all through history had a plan to destroy Moses. If I can just kill Moses, if I can destroy him, I'll have Israel in my reign for the rest of their lives. I'll control Israel forever. And Herod, at the time of Jesus' birth, realized, Satan speaking through Herod, realized that if I can just kill Jesus before he's of age, there will be no salvation for mankind. There will be no hope for mankind. There will never be a man to hang on a cross and bridge the gap between man and God. It took a human sacrifice to take away our sins. And Satan realized that if he could kill God, kill Jesus himself, that there would be no salvation for mankind. Could it be that Satan realizes in our day and hour the reason why abortion is so big and he placed it in the heart of man? If he can just kill that one or two individuals, that his plan might get pulled off? Could that just be a possibility to hear tonight? And can I pose this question to somebody here tonight? The near-death experiences you've had and the fight that you've had in your life, the things going on and the struggles you've had in your life, could it just be that Satan realizes that if you'd ever get free and you'd ever come up out of all of that, hallelujah, if it ever get through your mind that just what God sees in you and what you could be, that you'd turn this world upside down? Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together right now. Hallelujah. Is there somebody who wants to get free in this place tonight? The Bible says that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Let's say it again right now. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when you were born, God knew you in your mother's womb. God has a plan for your life. The struggles you faced, the near-death situations, the trials, every time you make a step towards God, it just gets worse and worse. I speak freedom in this place tonight. I speak deliverance in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Noah, of Gideon, of Samson, of Jephthah, of Barak. God has great men and women in every hour and in every generation. They've only needed a platform to rise upon and stand upon. Hallelujah. We've got a platform, church. We got a platform to stand on right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. The hope of this world has been shattered. The financial hope in this world has been shattered. The hope of people has been shattered. The peace in people's lives has been shattered. Hallelujah. Somewhere in Scripture it says, be ready to give every man answer of the hope that is in me. I've got hope tonight, folks. I've got peace tonight. Can I tell you that in all the things going on and the things going on in this world, that I've got peace in my life. When I lay my head down at night, I don't have turmoil. I don't have struggle. I don't worry. I sleep peacefully when I put my head on my pillow every night because I know who's in control. Hallelujah. I know who's in control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the same one who bent over this earth and spoken it into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let the birds fly, and they flew, and the fish in the seas. Hallelujah. God is in control. Hallelujah. It's not the United Nations. It's not our president. God bless him. God put him in control. I pray for him every day. But he does not have the answers for our world today. It's you and an I. You and I. Can I say again? You and I have the answers for the world. To bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted. To proclaim peace to the captives. To set at liberty them that are bound. Hallelujah. You and I. I am not waiting for another. I'm not waiting for somebody else. I, in my best abilities, am going to rise and stand to my feet in this hour, and I'm going to begin to walk out of the deserts that God's placed me on. And as I walk, I'm going to begin to lead people towards God. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand up and declare, thus saith the Word of God. The world is looking for answers right now. And what a platform to stand upon. God did this in my life. God delivered me from alcohol. God delivered me from marijuana. God delivered me from depression, from a suicidal state. God set me free. Hallelujah. I lay my head on my pillow at night and I go to sleep knowing this, that I'm in God's hands. And whatever God sees fit to do with my life, I'm fine with that. Do I always get my way? No. But whatever God wants to do, that's good enough for me. As long as I'm in His hands. You know, the only time God can lose a battle in your life is when you take the battle in your hands. And I've been teaching our people, you know, just shut your mouth, keep your peace, and let God do the fighting. Amen. The Bible says when Jesus was facing accusation in His crucifixion, He didn't say a word, and it marveled Pilate. You know, sometimes silence is your best response. Just hold your peace, let the storms buffet against you, and just say, God, I'm leaving it in Your hands. And when God fights, He fights. Amen. Hallelujah. The only time God can lose control of your life is when you take control of your own life yourself. I want to leave my life in God's hands. John D. Rockefeller said this, I always try to turn every disaster into an opportunity. Eileen Roosevelt made this comment. She said, just do your best, do brilliantly, and the cream will naturally rise to the top. John Maxwell, Brother Grant, I have to stop and say thank you. You know, you led us through that class, and when I went through that class at that time, those books really didn't mean a whole lot to me. But I read them books now, and other than the gospel, other than this book, I tell you, those books are a wealth of information to my life. But John Maxwell said this. He said, great leaders that realize that when to lead is as important as where to go and what to do. When to lead. When to lead. He also says, when leaders do the right things at the right time, success is inevitable. Can I pose tonight that now is the right time? Now is the right time to lead, brother and sister, in your workplace, in your family, in your ministry, in your home. Now is the right time to lead, and success is inevitable. Scripture even says that when Jesus was born, that the fullness of time was come. In Esther 4:14 it says, for if they're all together, holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise from another place. I don't want it to come from any other place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. It goes on to say, and who knowest whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? We have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this, for a dark hour, for a perilous time, a time that this world has not seen. The great leaders that have gone before us, God did not call them for this hour. The great leaders that have passed on and led, God did not call them for this hour. But God, looking down from the very portals of heaven, called you and I to this hour. Winston Churchill, what a great leader he was. What a role he played in leading Great Britain. Do you realize that in his childhood, he faced a near-death situation? He could have died. Could it have been that Satan, looking into the future, into history, with World War II, the Nazis in Germany, and all that was going to take place, could he have looked into future, realizing the role that Winston Churchill was going to play and tried destroying him? It was a very miracle that saved Winston Churchill's life. Winston Churchill went on to become the leader of Great Britain. It was Winston Churchill in Great Britain's darkest hours. See, he had an opportunity to make a pact with Germany, to sign an agreement with Adolf Hitler, but he would not do it. Can I just interject here right now that in the face of whatever it is you're facing, whatever the situation, whatever offer has been given you, you must do right no matter what. You've got to do the right thing. Do the right thing. Winston Churchill would not back down. He did not sign and he did not agree. Germany went on to bomb them relentlessly. Hitler increased his bombings and air raids 24 hours around the clock, bombing every site in Great Britain, trying to destroy them, to break their backbone, the hope that was in them. In their darkest hour, in the peak of World War II, the time when they could have quit and given up, Winston Churchill rose on that platform, on the rubble of Great Britain, and he stood before his people with these words. He said, "They bombed our walls. They bombed our cities. They've broken our walls down. They've destroyed our country. But we will not quit. They may have broken down our walls, but they have not broken down our spirits." He rallied the people of Great Britain. He rallied them in the deepest, darkest hour, faced with despair. He rallied them together. He rose to his occasion. He pulled Great Britain together and they went on to fight. And he said, they will fight. We will fight them in the hills. We will fight them in the plains. And when we're out of ammunition and we have no guns, we will fight them with shovels. We will fight them with pitchforks. But we, as Great Britain, we will fight. In their deepest, darkest hour, he had the words. He had the hope. He had the strength when no one else did, to rally them and fight. Hallelujah. Later on in his life, when asked about his role in leadership in Great Britain, and I want you to pay attention to this. Greatly in my life, this has meant so much, but Winston Churchill said these words, simply describing his role of leadership. He said it this way. He said, "There comes a special moment in everyone's life, a moment for which that person was born. That special opportunity, when he seizes it, will fulfill his mission, a mission for which he is uniquely qualified. In that moment, he finds greatness. It is his finest hour." Hallelujah. It is his finest hour. Isaiah 60, speaking about the church in the end times, says, "Arise and shine, for thy light has come. The glory
of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord's light shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And kings shall come to the brightness of the rising, and multitudes shall be gathered together unto thee. This, may I pose tonight, is our finest hour. This is the moment we were created for. This is our destiny. May I say again tonight that we are God's answer. We are God's revelation. We are God's hope for this hour today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when I was a kid, I've kind of grown older. And the Bible says you put away childish things, the things you did as a kid. I was never really into comic books. I had friends that were really into comics. They loved to read the comics. I can remember a few of them, but it was a big thing. You could go to stores, and instead of magazines, they had comic books. And, you know, Brother Roy, you might, you're into some of that with trains and other things, but, you know, and a lot of them are collector's items now, but comic books, they'd read them, and they'd read these stories about heroes in there. There was Spider-Man, and I don't want to get all carnal here now, but Superman. And for you ladies, there was Wonder Woman. And there was the Hulk. Amen. Women, let's give it up for the women. Amen. Where would we be without women and Wonder Women? Amen. But in these comic books, they talked about these supernatural, superhuman beings. And they had these supernatural powers and all these things. Like I said, I don't know a lot about it, but you know, I caught enough, and you'd read about it, and kids would say, I'm Superman. And I do remember one thing. Mom, you'll probably remember this, but my mom bought me Superman underoos. Remember that? That's 30-plus years ago. Do they still make Superman underoos? He had the little shirt and the, you know, the bottoms. And my brother had Spider-Man, I think it was. And he'd run around being Spider-Man. And I'd run around being Superman. And I remember climbing up on the couch and wanting to jump and fly. And you'd go like 2 feet and crash to the ground. And make-believe superpowers. And I know Superman had Krypton. And his enemy was Lex Luthor. And Spider-Man could spin webs. And, you know, Batman had his... That bad thing that he threw around. I remember my brother one time broke something because he had this plate, and Mom, you shouldn't listen. Close your ears. Now all the secrets come out, but I was Superman, and I was trying to fly, and for some reason, Superman and Batman that day were enemies, and my brother was going to throw this plate, and he missed me, and it flew and hit the wall and broke up. But, you know, we played. We were superheroes. We had superpowers. You know, but can I pose tonight this thought that you and I, sitting in this building tonight, we're superheroes. We're God's heroes to this generation. If you want to begin to turn, Ephesians 6, chapter 13 through 17 on the screen back there. Thank God for the screen. But you know, you say to yourself, well, if I'm a superhero... I know they all had super stuff they put on, like, you know, there was bulletproof clothes they put on and capes they could do stuff with and their masks, and some of them had armor, and they had things they put on their wrists and their ankles. They had the super armor they put on to protect them. And you say, well, we don't have no super armor. We don't have anything to protect us. We don't have things that we put on. Well, can I pose to you tonight? Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verses 13 through 17 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, the shield of faith, wherewith you may shield, you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take on the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we do have armor. We do have things we put on. We do have a helmet. We have a shield. Amen. Hallelujah. Will you say, so I've got armor. I've got stuff to protect me, but I don't have no superpowers. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do to help people. I'm just a human being. But in Acts chapter 1 and 8 it says, but you shall receive power. Amen. Let's say it together. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Luke 24:49 says, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be what? Endued with power from on high. Mark 16:17 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall take up serpents. They shall speak with tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got power. Hallelujah. We do have powers. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've got power. Turn to somebody next to you. Hallelujah. Say, I've got power. Amen. 1 John 4, verse 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands. Greater is he that is in you. Hallelujah. Now you say, well, you know, all fine and well, but I've got armor and I got power, but I don't have any supernatural characteristics. I don't have any charisma. You know, Clark Kent, wasn't that his name? He was this super nice guy, mild-mannered. The Lone Ranger, he was another one. He was a good guy, always went around saving the widow and from the bad guy. I don't have any characteristics. I'm just kind of a jerk all the time. I'm just me. I'm mean. I'm not nice to people. Well, we shouldn't be that way as Christians. But you know your frailties. We know the things that we struggle with. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen. Long-suffering, patience. Amen. We do have characteristics. Amen. There are things about us when God puts His Spirit inside of us. He gives us love, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we do have supernatural characteristics. We can love them when we don't feel like loving them. We can put an arm around them and say, I care, when we really don't feel like caring. Brother O'Neill, we can have long suffering. Amen. We can have patience. Just don't pray for it. Because you're going to get patience. You're going into a desert place. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, you say, all right, well, I'm following you so far. But you know, I'm just Dave. I'm just Brother Phil. I'm just Sister Fiona. I'm just Matt. I'm just me. I don't have any abilities. You know, I just kind of come to church and sing. But in 1 Corinthians 12, not to put singing down. Not to put anything down. But you know, we're just kind of us. And you know, so we got armor and we got characteristics. We can love people, but what are we going to do when they come bound? What are we going to do when they come and they need healing and peace in their lives? 1 Corinthians 12:7-10 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Amen. We do have abilities, the power of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, things that we can do for people. I read in the book of Acts that it was Peter's shadow that fell on people in the streets and they were healed. It was Peter going up to the gate beautiful that said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Our world is waiting for somebody that says, silver and gold have I none. It's not this world's wisdom. It's not a financial blessing that you need. But let me tell you, friend, what you need. And we reach out and take their hand and pull them up out of their situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We as superheroes, we do oppose evil. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. Romans 12:21 says, overcome evil with good. And 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful who will establish you and keep you from all evil. We do rescue the lost. Proverbs 11:30 says, he that winneth souls is wise. Daniel 12:3 says that they that turn many to righteousness, brother Daniel, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. For doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And in Jude 22:23, and some save with compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. So we do oppose evil. We do rescue the lost. And again in Acts 2:38 says, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said, men, unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter, standing up, said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And last but not least, all them superheroes, all them characters. I know Wonder Woman could. She just kind of could put her arm out and fly. And Superman had a cape. And Batman and Robin had ways of getting around the sky. They had ways of flying and getting around. You say, Brother Punzel, what are you saying? You saying that we have potential to fly? That we have ability to fly and get around in space and move around? Before you make too quick of a judgment, you know, you read in the Old Testament, and Elijah was caught up in a chariot and taken out of this world in a fiery chariot. It said Enoch was translated because he pleased God. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18, it says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Can I pose to you tonight, hallelujah, that one day we're going to take a step and we are going to fly. We're going to get out of this world. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are superheroes. We are God's answer to this hour. We are God's hope for this world. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Why don't we just lift our hands to the Lord right now? Hallelujah. Let's begin to worship as the praise singers come. Hallelujah. I don't know what your situation is tonight. Hallelujah. If you're going through some things, if you're struggling. Hallelujah. A battle in your life. You feel like you've been in a desert place. You feel like there's no hope in your life. Hallelujah. God is working on you. God is dealing with you. Creating in you a leader to step forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. I feel like in this place tonight, hallelujah, there's some decisions that got to be made tonight. There's some decisions that you've been wavering with in your life. some thoughts that have been running through your mind. Hallelujah. Some decisions that can be made in this place tonight. I encourage you. Hallelujah. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Today is the hour. Hallelujah. To leave behind frailties and fears and inhibitions. Tonight is the night. Can I be so bold to say tonight is the night in your life to step forward, to step out. The Bible says to lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. That we should wake out of sleep, to awaken ourselves, to shake ourselves. Tonight, as I turn this over to Brother Grant, I encourage you tonight that this is the day of the hour, that there is a somebody on your job, your neighbor, somebody on your street that is waiting to hear from you.
Oh, praise God. People are coming down the altar already. Decisions need to be made, and sometimes we need support when those decisions are made. If you want to just step out and come on down, if you need to be renewed in the Holy Ghost or you do not have the Holy Ghost, come and stand over here on your right. If you've been struggling with some situations in life and you need someone to help you and pray with you, just come and stand right in front of you.